Blog Talk Radio.
County, Georgia. Sunny fall afternoon, the Sunday before Election Day. This is Down South and Dirty with Scout Smith. And today we're doing our Election Day preview show. You know, we've had a long haul. And first, let me give credit to my Democratic Party, the Democratic Party of Georgia, because this time last year, we weren't expecting to play full court press game like we're playing this year. We were quite unsure of where the party was headed this time last year. So I want to give kudos to the Democratic Party of Georgia because we've taken turns to the line and we've become a player when most people weren't expecting Georgia to be in play. Now, November 4th is Election Day, and I've done the last couple of shows. I've done different segments on different populations, this, that, and the other, trying to get an idea of where the electorate is sitting at. Well, today I want to kind of talk about a couple of races, and you know the first two I'm going to be talking about is the race for governor and the race for United States Senate. And I'm going to spit some prediction numbers from a very good friend of mine, Keith McCants, who is the blogger, and he has Peanut Politics blog. So if y'all want to get a good idea of what a conservative Democrat in Georgia is looking from a rural point of view, check Keith out on Peanut Politics. But he has a couple of predictions that he's made, which I found to be quite interesting in this race. For governor, Georgia governor, he has Deal at 49%, Carter at 48%, and Hunt at 3%. Now, we all here in Georgia know, and just in the point of information for folks outside of Georgia, for anyone to actually win this race, we have to get 50 plus 1. That means we had to get 50% plus 1 vote. And right now it does not look like, according to Keith's calculations, that neither candidate will get the 50 plus 1 threshold. We'll meet it. So we're probably going into a runoff. That means, people, we're going to be Christmas shopping and talking politics at the same time. So let's really just, you know, hold through on that one and let's really cross our fingers because my prediction is that if this governor's race will possibly go into a runoff as well. Next race I'm looking at here is the United States Senate race, Michelle Nunn versus David Perdue. Now, this race has been interesting from the standpoint of that it has been back and forth. But Michelle has come out very strong since the end of the primaries, and the more David Perdue debates Michelle Nunn, the worse he sounds for Georgia. And right now, the prediction from Peanut Politics is 49% to 47% in favor of Nunn, with the Libertarian candidate, Amanda Swafford, getting 4%. That would also take us into a runoff, and the federal runoff will also take us into the new year. I'm not thinking that's what's going to be the case. My prediction is that Michelle Nunn takes it 51%. It's going to be a tight race. And that's just because there's a lot of different factors going on into that race. This is just not, in the state of Georgia, this is really not just a Democrat versus Republican battle. With the Libertarians having strong shows, at least in these top two races, you know, and people say, well, 4 and 3%. No, but they're on the ballot. And that throws a whole other dynamic into the race because not only are both of the Democratic candidates moving toward the center and pushing the Republican candidates further to the right, which is not where the state sits. The state sits toward the center. So you have Republicans who are going to vote for Carter and Nunn because they are not in favor of what Perdue is saying, and they're definitely not in favor of the most corrupt governor in the union, Nathan Deal. So you have this paradigm shift in which conservatives are actually starting to look at Democratic candidates just because of the fact of ethics and honesty. we might not all share the same platform views, but at the same time, they know what Democrats are going to stand. We're not going to say one thing and do another. They know exactly what Democrats are standing at. So I'm predicting that none takes this one. And we have to look at also that the voting trends in the state are outpacing those from 2010. You look at the fact that Roy Barnes, who ran for governor in 2010 was one not a very favored candidate. He had lost the previous election. He was coming back for re-election to try to recapture his seat, which to me was a scratch in the head. Why do you lose and then think you're going to be able to come back and win? Senator Perdue hadn't done enough for him to be able to get that night to erase the unpopularity of Roy Barnes. So you also look at that, we got a stronger candidate in Jason Carter, and also you look at the turnout rate. You've had, you know, all the models that you looked at over the last couple of months have been, you know, basically what has been asked about, and then we talked about this last week, what are the African Americans going to do? But if you start looking at African American turnout in this midterm election, it's higher than what the conservative pollsters have been putting it at. You're seeing it somewhere around 25-28%, and that gave the Republicans a victory. Well, we're looking at 30%+ for African Americans and higher turnout amongst Democrats in a total. And this was one of the things that we were worried about, you know, coming in. How was turnout going to look? And the Republicans are obviously worried about it too, because of the vast registration efforts that were taking place and the ability that they know the Democrats have to get out and move the vote. Hence why Brian Kemp said what he said. He said they're doing a lot, the Democrats are doing a lot of good work in registering minority voters, at registering voters. And if you have these minorities come out and vote, there's a possibility that the Democrats will win. That looks like that could be a case here, as we have more voters coming into the system, and we've seen voter suppression efforts take place, and it's caused a charge. It's actually charged the environment amongst minority voters to actually get out and vote, because they're not going to let anybody steal their vote. So you're looking at those numbers being shifted by large amounts just because we've turned out. I know here in Troup County, personally, I've looked at some numbers, and those numbers show that we have been. The African Americans have been voting here. Democrats have been voting here. So that's a good sign for Democrats here in the Georgia election. You know, they put it in play that if the Democrats were going to win anywhere and pick up any seats, particularly for the United States Senate, the pickup seats would be down here in Georgia. Now, I also see Democrats picking up a couple of seats here in the legislature and holding seats. I have a lot of confidence in a House race that I see up in Gwinnett County, District 105, Renita Hamilton, who came very close to winning her race in the last election cycle, again is running and has a very good chance of possibly taking this race again. I'm going to call that one for Renita Hamilton. And I'm not a punt. I'm not a numbers guy. I'm just going from the feeling for what I hear in the streets and talking to folks up that way. Then I got a couple of races that I'm looking at down this way. In the West Georgia area, Democrats, I believe, are going to be very competitive in West Georgia this cycle. Don't know if we're going to pick up all our seats. There's going to be some very, and I cannot call all any seat in particular but one. And I call particularly the 132 House seat that's open seat that Carl Von Epps, who had been the 20-year incumbent Democrat, held that seat for 20 years. He retired Bob Trammell, Gene King, and ran against Carl Von Epps on several occasions and never made the mark. Do not believe he's going to make the mark again this time, and Bob Trammell will take 132. Cynthia Bennett running against Mike Crane. Cannot call that one. Really cannot call that one. It's going to be tight. I believe it's going to be a very competitive race. My fingers are crossed for Cynthia Bennett. I want her to win. I do believe that she'll be an excellent Georgia State Senator and will bring wisdom, moderation, and justice back to the Georgia Senate. We have Brian Roslin running against Josh McCoon in District 29. That's, you know, Southern Troup County all the way down to the LaGrange all the way to Columbus. All right, that's going to be a close one. It's going to be based on turnout and crossover. another one that I believe, you know, that really we need to pay attention to in that race, because Josh McCown has been touted as a champion for ethics, but has been out campaigning and stumping for Nathan Deal. I mean, really? Now, I'm going to make it, you know, so if Josh is listening to this and he gets his panties all in a bunch, Scout Smith works for Brian Rosling. Yeah, I do. And I still try to look at these races from an objective point of view. And the thing is that he says he's a champion for ethics, but you're campaigning for Nathan Deal, who has been touted as one of the most corrupt governors in the state. It's sitting on top of an ethics scandal right now, but yet you're the champion, and you supposedly stand apart from your party, but you're sitting here campaigning for this corrupt governor. I think it's a smokescreen and a charade, and I think the folks in District 29 are seeing that also. It's just whether or not do they have the courage to vote against McCown, since they feel like a lot of folks said they feel intimidated by him. So that's me as a citizen speaker. And yeah, I know, hey, I might get attacked for this myself. So that's just a part of the game. However, you looking at other seats, Debbie Buckner, close race, love Debbie Buckner. Looking up at toward the Douglas County area, you got James Harrison Nixon running against Mike Dugan, who is a powerful state senator here. James Nixon has been a dark horse candidate. We're talking about a tattoo artist out of Douglasville, originally from True County. I mean, plays the part, has the piercings, the whole nine yards, but a very good speaker, and has very centrist conservative Democratic views, like a lot of rural Democrats. And I believe that he's going to make a strong showing in that. Whether or not he's going to win it, there's a whole other story. But I do believe that he's going to make a strong showing in that race, because other Democrats are making strong showings. And so with that, let's take a small break, and I'll be back in a moment. This is Down South and Dirty with Scott Smith. Down South and Dirty with Scott Smith, and we're having our Election Day preview show today, and we just got through talking about the two top of the ticket ballots, and I talked about some races that I've been observing here in West Georgia. Let's talk about some of our statewide candidates, and I'm going to start off with Connie Stokes. Connie has been running, you know, been across the state. Originally, she was going to run for Jason Carter, stepped into the race. She stepped back in the Lieutenant Governor's slot. She's one of the Fab Five. Like I said, she's been campaigning diligently across the state. This, that, and the other. That's going to be an interesting race to watch, because my question is, can she unseat Casey Cagle? Casey Cagle has kept his head low through this whole election cycle. He's not done anything that has warranted anybody to look in his direction. He has not done anything to cause anybody to say his name in a negative way. And pretty much left Connie having to run her race, you know, based on the fact that she's one of the Fab Five. And I love Connie to death, but Casey has not presented any targets to her. So I'm really wondering how have people paid that race any attention, because Casey has kept his nose out of the fire like everyone else. Everybody else at the state level has come in contact with some type of negative press, and have not seen it from Casey Cagle. So that's going to be a really hard race to get, because he's only now just starting to put ads out and this, that, and the other. And I think he feels confident in his reelection. So if we do get Jason Carter as our governor, which I am hoping for, and I do believe even in the runoff that we will capture it, we're going to have a split. We're going to have a split at the top between the governor and lieutenant governor's races. Next down, I'm looking at Doreen Carter. Doreen Carter has a chance. If the Metro and the African-American vote pushes, and she can catch some crossover for more of the heat that a lot of people are having in her race, she also, I do believe, has a libertarian in her race. I'm not sure. let me take and do some check on that one, because I know one of the statewide candidates, that's Liz. Liz Johnson has a libertarian in the race with her. But Doreen has a good chance, because you're looking at the fact that Brian Kemp is one of those people who's been in the news quite frequently with negative press. I mean, he is in the middle of all this voter suppression scheme that is being that's been accused upon him. You know, the state government, they say, yeah, well, you know, there's been judges who kicked the case out of court in Fulton County. They've done nothing. They allowed that as a victory. They say they found the voter sheets. But did these people get added to the voter rolls? Did they get added? The question has Brian Kemp done enough to alleviate the situation so that he's not being looked at as being chief vote suppressor here in the state of Georgia? So with that, I'm giving Doreen Carter it's going to be a very tight race with Doreen Carter. I do believe that she has a chance of winning, because Brian Kemp has just really taken it over the top and has not done well in purveying to Georgia that he will protect our voters' rights. And also, you're looking at the different scandals that he had early on during the year with being able for professional licensing. You've not seen that problem been alleviated. You still have problems with the state websites, and people are just waiting for next year to see, hey, is it going to be any better? Well, I don't think Georgia's going to give him a chance to make it any better. So Doreen Carter has a pretty good chance. Not going to call it a win, but she has a good chance. Next down the line, Liz Johnson. Liz Johnson is running for insurance commissioner. She has a good chance, but it's going to be contingent on Democrats going out to vote. She has a libertarian. She has a libertarian in that race also. And is the vote going to be split enough amongst libertarians and Republicans to give Liz the chance to move forward? We have to have a major turnout to make sure that Liz Johnson gets into the insurance commissioner seat. Ralph Hudgens, for most progressives, we understand that he's been obstructor in chief on Medicaid expansion here in Georgia. I mean, he's campaigned against it. He was very supportive of the legislation that went through the Georgia Assembly earlier this year that took the powers of Medicaid expansion away from Governor Deal in anticipation that Jason Carter would win. So we have to really, as Democrats, get out there and make a concerted effort to turn out and vote and make sure we vote all the way down the line. But in this particular case, this is very important, and I give Liz Johnson a very strong chance of making a good showing in this race. And if Democrats turn out and vote, she has a chance of victory. Next race, Robin Shipp. Robin Shipp has been campaigning very, very hard. She has another one of those candidates that we've been hard to put a finger on. That's Mark Butler. It took me for the longest time to remember who this cat was. Who was her opponent? Who is the incumbent labor commissioner? He's kept his head low. He's made sure that he has not done anything until recently to try to get put on the radar. And we have to be very careful in that race and hope that Democrats, again, this election cycle is about turnout. And making sure that we vote from top to bottom Democrat and that we have a chance then of taking this seat. Robin, I also give a good chance of taking this race. Next down the line, superb candidate, another member of the Fab Five, and that is Valerie Wilson for state school superintendent. Valerie has been campaigning very hard. She came out of a very large field in the primary. She got into a runoff. She pulled it off, and she has been a superstar out there for his big competitiveness against the Republican Party candidate, Richard Woods. If anybody that I give a prediction of taking this one outright is Valerie. And Valerie has the opportunity to go out and take this joker outright, no problem. Just go ahead and call her the next state school superintendent. She's in now. She has the best, of all the best down ballot candidates, has the best possibility particularly amongst the Fab Five. Next race will be, let's see, we done talked about the Lieutenant Governor. We done talked about the Secretary of State. We done talked about Labor Commissioner, Insurance Commissioner. We done got State School Superintendent. We're talking about the Attorney General, Greg Hick, and against Sam Owens. Greg is going to take this one. You know, Sam Owens is right along up there with Nathan's deal. I mean, he has helped the ethics problems that we have in here in Georgia by not prosecuting, not holding Georgia's equal to the equal process in the law. And he's basically been, you know, doing what Nathan Deal needs for him to do to keep Nathan out of trouble. So I'm hoping that, you know, and then Greg has been putting the task to him and has been reaching out to those who are disaffected by the ethics scandals that have been taking place in our state government. And I'm giving that one to Greg Hick. Next is Chris Irvin. Chris Irvin is running for Agriculture Commissioner. And that race has been kind of low-key because everybody, most of the votes in the state tend on the metros getting highly agitated and involved in these races. And agriculture, for the most part, I know better, but for agriculture, for most Georgians, if you live in the metro, that's a rural issue. You know, farming and dairy cows and food processing and all that stuff, people have a tendency to count that toward the rural areas. So I don't know if the excitement is enough, but if the people in the metro pay attention and realize that Democrats on the ballot and that Democrats usually have a tendency to want to improve processes other than to restrict processes for profit, Chris Irvin has a chance because Chris Irvin has been a champion for food safety and increasing our agricultural resources for mid-sized and small farmers instead of big agribusiness. I wish a lot of rural farmers would pay attention to that because, I mean, it sounds good, agriculture, when you listen from the current agriculture commissioner, but most of the big breaks went to agribusiness, ConAgra, Monsanto, all of those different companies that operate here in Georgia that are big multi-million dollar companies that are doing that, you know, capable of doing international business, are being looked after and taken care of, but the small farmer, mid-sized farmer, is not being taken care of as so much, and I believe Chris Irvin will do a good job of that, and I'm hoping and my head's off to Chris Irvin for the race that he's run and putting that out there in front of us Georgians. Next is Daniel Blackman, running for Public Service Commissioner. And this is another one of those races that people have not really been paying attention to. But when we start looking at energy costs and how our energy is going to be generated and distributed across the state, this is a very important seat because we don't have anybody that looks at the environment or environmental issues or, you know, looking toward renewable energies on the PSC. And Daniel Blackman has said that these are things that are top priority for him, and he's run a pretty good race. I mean, he's been out there stomping, he's been running hard, this, that, and other. But again, this race has not been very high profile, so it's about those informed voters going out there making a choice of what's good for Georgia, and I do believe Daniel Blackman is good for Georgia. Now, there's other PSC seat open, but there's no Democrats running that race. It's a Republican versus a Libertarian. In this particular race, I'm going with the Libertarian. Mr. Mons. Going with Mr. Mons because of the Libertarian platform, where it is smaller government, they do believe in common sense solutions and do also look at renewable resources as being the wave of the future. And being that that's a part of the Libertarian platform, I'm going to back the Libertarian in that race versus the Republican. And I do believe that if you were looking down your ballot and you're seeing that one, that's the choice that you're going to vote on November 4th. Make that choice. Vote for the Libertarian over the Republican. With that said, I want to have a quick talk about ballot access here in Georgia. And my Democratic Party friends may be somewhat upset with me on this one, but I do believe that in the legislature, this next session, somebody needs to push forward a bill for open ballot access here in Georgia. That if you can form up as a legal, everybody on the Georgia law, other than meet the ballot requirements, to be an organized political party, you ought to be able to get on the ballot without having to go through a petition things that everybody has to go to get on the ballot if they're not going to run as a Democrat or a Republican. I do believe that it will break the gridlock if we had open ballot access here in Georgia. I do believe in a multi-party, not a two-party, a multi-party system. I do believe that it will cut for all of those political purists. It will get rid of your radical elements inside of your party and strengthen your parties. It will also make it easier for us to get bills passed when we have to start compromising again versus shoveling stuff down folks' throats. We may get some good legislation and some good laws passed that balance themselves when one party is not dominating the other as it currently does here in Georgia and in the United States. So I am pushing for Georgia to push for open ballot access in the next legislative session, and I will be fighting on that line with anybody who supports open ballot access here in Georgia. Well, this has been our Election Day preview. Stay tuned to Down South and Dirty over the next weeks as we do the after effects of what the election taking place. We actually might even do it if the technology and time allows it. We may actually even do a show Tuesday night as we go into the election. Well, this is Down South and Dirty with Scout Smith, and I am hoping each and every last one of you have a wonderful, wonderful day. And this is Down South and Dirty with Scout Smith.